Welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode 61, and this, at least over here, this time of the year is getting colder and colder. But it seems the other side of the planet, exactly from Latvia, there is Artur Sozins that seems to be very happy. He's probably not getting much cold these days. Hello, Artur. How are you doing?
Yeah, actually, it's been really warm here, and we couldn't even go and swim, and that's really nice.
Yeah, you go swim because it's just 10 degrees and it's really hot.
18.
It's probably the same temperature over here. But since I became a Brazilian, now I have cold, unlike in the past. But anyway, we are here to talk about PHP and many things that have been happening. Actually, this month, the PHP world is kind of on vacation, so nothing much has happened, but some things interesting happened. So let's start with the usual coverage of the latest PHP releases. Starting from PHP 5.4.41, and well, as we always mentioned, the PHP 5.4 is in security fixes mode, so all these bugs that are mentioned here are related with security. And for PHP 5.5.25, there are a few more bugs that were fixed unrelated to security, I think. And but as I was planning to mention, PHP 5.5 is going to also enter in security fixes mode soon. Probably when you watch this, the next release will already be just a security fixes. And as for PHP 5.6.9, wait a minute, .9, no, it's .9.
Yeah.
No, it's .10. I just did not fix the... Actually, I've been... it's also my mistake. I did not bump the numbers of PHP 5.4 that I was showing. So we should have been looking at the PHP 5.4.42, which is still about security fixes, PHP 5.5.26 with some other bugs, nothing specific worth mentioning, and PHP 5.6.10, which continues to be maintained. But as I was mentioning, as you may see in the schedule here, PHP 5.5 will have active support until July 10, which means that after that, it will enter into security fixes mode.
For us, it's tomorrow,
but for whoever is going to watch this recording, probably it has already passed. And other than that, then later,
in September,
it will be the end of line for PHP 5.4. Well, nothing bad will happen that day, just that since there will be no more new PHP 5.4 versions, hosts may consider upgrading the PHP version they are using.
It seems only recently we buried 5.3 version, and now it's already 5.4. Well, they are outdating really fast.
This is more psychologic, because many people do not control the exact version of the PHP that they will use, because it's decided by their virtual hosting company. So this is more up to the hosting companies than to the actual developers. And The idea is that since we are coming close to PHP 5, PHP 7, it would probably not make much sense to maintain like five older versions. So when PHP is, 7 will be released, there will be still two versions by then. And it's always be like three active versions, one in security fixes mode, and another older, and then the newer version. And well, okay, this is just to mention that these dates are coming, and if you are concerned, you should keep in mind that at least for these versions, there will be no more bug fixes after a certain date. And here, there is an article by Jim Poli, which is a release manager of PHP 5. Well, not all versions, but I forgot which was the first one that he started. Anyway, he just announced that PHP 5.5 will go into enter security fixes mode. Although they mention different dates here. Well, anyway, I think what matters is that what is in that page, this page, because this is the official information about the schedules. And talking about PHP 7, we already had two PHP alpha versions, and I think beta one was already released or not. No, not yet. Beta one was not yet released, but it's due soon. Yeah, so probably by the time people are watching this Hangout, the beta one was already released. And the difference is that there will be something what they call feature freeze, which means that any features after this date, they mentioned here July 9th, they will, after this date, they will not change the features. They will only be stabilized. Actually, I thought feature freeze happened a few months ago in terms of planning of the features. So there may be a slight difference of interpretation of what feature freeze means. Well, anyway, you should not be concerned if you are not really looking at PHP 7 as it works right now. Because in my experience, what happens is most developers tend to just wait for the official release to be out to actually try it. And only then you see loads and loads of bug reports. After months of planning these releases, finally people will report the bugs that they should have been reporting during the alpha and beta stages.
So your suggestion is to wait for official release and then wait a couple of more releases?
No, my suggestion, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying that this is what happens in practice. It's very frustrating for a developer that there is half and beta periods, but only a few people actually test the PHP versions and make useful reports about broken things.
I think that's a trend with PHP that everyone tend to stay on oldest current version possible, which works, and are afraid to upgrade, and probably that's why it's like that. Nobody wants to try to get a heads up
a buggy
and try it. Yeah,
it will break your applications, and you cannot do much because it's not your fault. Well, that's the way it works. And well, as long as people do not take years to upgrade finally to that version because they were afraid that their application would break, that's okay. Well, anyway, now you know that PHP 7 is already in alpha and beta stages. If you are curious, you should go ahead and download. There, I'll post the links in the show notes, so you can go there and see how bad is your code running on PHP 7. Most people is getting very excited because it's really fast. But what about the features that were discontinued or add backwards incompatible changes? Well, you need to deal with one thing at a time. I think, as usual, for major releases, adoption will take some time to really happen in a significant way. So now moving on to another topic. Basically, there was a discussion. It didn't go anywhere. Just some people that considered it and did not like much of what's being proposed is that Nginx, which is getting more and more popular in the PHP world, web servers in general, is getting a feature that they call thread pools. And it provides, they say 9x of performance boost. Well, I'm not sure, but from what I could interpret is that the requests are handled by threads, and threads will be grouped in pools built in the web server. Because many people have been using FastCGR or similar approaches, the requests are handled by a separate process, and the web server just takes the requests and forwards them to the separate process using some I/O communication. And with thread pools, all runs inside the process of them, of the web server, so it will be more or less like a mod Apache. Mod PHP that you have in Apache. There was a discussion in the PHP internals about if PHP shouldn't have a dedicated SAPI, an interface with this web server in this mode. And the discussion did not go very far, but the people that have spoken basically said that you probably will not get much performance because when you use thread-safe code, there are lots of locks to prevent that in terms of lower level C language, it will prevent simultaneous threads to access and change global variables. I mean, global C variables, not global PHP variables. And those locks end up killing any performance boost. And so probably this is not something that they will focus. But we never know. Maybe somebody will consider it and come back to the idea.
It means they would have to modify the source to make the global variables volatile somehow. Yeah, but all in all, I think that
such no, that's just the way PHP works in thread safe mode. Yeah. They have to use locks to prevent that threads change the same global variable.
When using PHP, the first optimization method that comes to mind, since it's a single-threaded environment, then to cache everything you can in operative memory. Yeah. And in this case, threading server won't give you any boost, but probably only make overhead to threads, because if you're fetching everything from RAM, then it's basically gives you nothing.
Yeah, well, this article is about the way Nginx works, but I don't know if this they are talking about static content or dynamic content generated by a language like PHP.
Yeah, well, so, even after reading the article, I can't really understand in which cases it would benefit me more than it would harm me. So it's probably all about the testing on specific case.
Yes, probably that's what they mean. In certain cases, you can get 9x performance boost, but only in all the other cases, you probably won't get anything.
Yeah, the example on which they got 9x boost is when they were fetching some kind of large file, which an IO operation, which a multi-thread environment, of course, would be executed better asynchronously.
Yeah. That's probably one case that is not even a general case that you probably will not benefit much. But okay, for those people that are obsessed about performance, they may want to consider it. Anyway, for now, the discussion in PHP internals, nobody got excited about this. So at least for now, there will be no specific SAPI for PHP. To support this mode of Nginx. So moving on with the next topic, just to briefly mention that there was announcement of a PHP specification. Actually, they completed the specification for PHP 5.6. Which basically the specification is a formal document that says that PHP should work like this, PHP should work like that.
And by that you mean Facebook?
Well, it was a project started by Facebook, but then they ended up gathering the collaboration of other core PHP developers. And of course, this is more interesting for Facebook because they are the ones that have one of the probably better known implementation of PHP apart from the Zend-based implementation, which is the one based on HHVM. So with this specification, they can guarantee that their implementation will go in line with the main PHP specification. And if there is an implementation that is broken because does not comply to this specification, they people are just brought the attention to that whatever is different and should fix it to make it comply with this specification. There are other implementations, but I don't know if they are really concerned about this with this specification. Okay. Now moving on with another topic, we are just going to briefly mention that the fact that in June PHP class completed 16 years of age. Hey, happy birthday, PHP classes!
That was in June, right?
Yes, it was in June of 24.
And you said that this once wasn't special and on vacation. It is kind of special.
What do you mean?
Well, in the beginning of the podcast, you said that this month there was nothing special. It's like all PHP is on vacation. So
yeah, because that's just the way I deal with birthdays. Personally, I don't celebrate my own birthday, just so you know. It's another year. It was a lot of work and many things changed. The new features that the site needs requiring a lot of work, so things to go slowly. But coincidentally, there was also the 20th birthday of PHP. So I just thought, let's put both topics on the same argument, on the same article. So regarding the PHP...
It took you 4 years to run PHP and build the website.
Yes, I was learning. Now, actually, I started PHP according to this. If this is the real official birthday of 20th birthday of PHP, this means that PHP was started on 1995. I started working with PHP 2 in 1997, but But PHP 2 did not support objects. Only PHP 3 started having classes. So, which happened like in 1988. So, in 1999, I started PHP classes. It's and not like I was waiting for that. But
you could not make phpclasses.org when PHP did not support classes. So, it makes sense, right?
No, but well, but before that, there was a site by, oh, I even forgot the name. It's so old. That I used to send my first classes before I had PHP classes. I had
Mailinguist?
Well, no, there is, it was called PX by David Sklar. And the it was a sort of a script site. You send your scripts and share them with them. But I wanted to be able to notify people when there are new versions of each class. And I even talked with David if he would be willing to accept contributions to improve his site, but he didn't feel interested. And then I started PHP classes. That's the basic story. And but before that, I was already submitting classes to that site. So it was already after PHP 3. And anyway, I was talking about the 20th birthday. Just to mention just a few facts. It's not worth repeating what many other articles talk about the story of PHP. There was the people from the PHP community posted a series of tweets about all relevant events of PHP history. They were nice. They even mentioned the birth of PHP classes, among many other events that happened in all these 20 years. And but what I wanted to mention in this article is not the PHP community is a sort of very compartmentalized. There is the framework people, the WordPress people, the Drupal people, and each section of the PHP community sometimes seems to be isolated. They do not have much in common. There is this effort of PSR to define specifications for interoperability of frameworks, but still it's the framework people, and they define a few specifications, but they didn't, for instance, did like they did in the Java world, they define specifications for APIs that could be implemented by different frameworks. Yeah. It's more like coding styles and conventions, and not really something that would allow, for instance, to switch from one framework to the other. So mm-hmm. they collaborate, but at the same time, they don't seem to be letting it go for their users to switch to another framework. And the difference between what we have in PHP and the Java world. They have the JSRs, Java specification and recommendations. You can even switch virtual machines, and in theory, your application will still work. We know that's not accurate, but at least that was the intention. This is just to mention that PHP is still very compartmentalized. The community is large, but it could cooperate more than.
That's the problem. The community is too large.
Yeah. And it's not just that. Some people just see other sectors as competitors rather than collaborators. So the framework people don't like PHP classes because PHP classes let other developers to get lots of exposure to their own frameworks. And that's more competition. And some people write crappy code and send to PHP classes. So the fact that people write crappy code, it's PHP classes' fault. Of course not. That's just the reflex of the PHP community that we have. It's not really something that you can blame to a single site. Some people, oh no, I don't like PHP classes. I like GitHub. And then many of the contributors that submit classes to PHP classes, they import them from GitHub, which is which is curious.
Which is easy to do.
Yes, exactly, and so it's not PHP class's fault. It's not GitHub's fault. It's just the fact that PHP is so popular that you will have great people writing excellent quality code, and then you have less experienced people writing lower quality code. And blaming it on PHP classes is just something very. Very, I would say, probably somebody that is defending some other repository or something. Anyway, just regarding this document, this article, I also mentioned about the PHP 7 event. It was a very big thing. Many heated discussions we've been covering all these months. One of them was probably one of the hottest is about having strict typing in PHP, because PHP is a dynamic language and it can't have strict typing. And finally, there was a proposal that was approved. Lots of people vote in favor, but also lots of voted against. But okay, at least now you can have a solution that can please more or less both of the worlds. Other than that, I think the major thing that will get people's attention to PHP 7 will not be strict typing, but it will be rather performance improvements. PHP 7, actually, what is called PHP 7 was somewhat based what they call initially PHPNG, which was just an effort to evaluate bringing a JIT solution to PHP, the core PHP implementation, because HHVM of Facebook already had their own JIT solution. And there are people that disagree with this interpretation, so take it just my point of view, not necessarily a point of view that everybody agrees. And well, it doesn't matter, because what we got is that there was a big effort to improve PHP performance in many ways, besides considering the JIT solution that in the end we don't have yet, at least for PHP 7. And what matters is that the performance gains are going quite on par with HHVM PHP implementation. So all this competition between PHP core developers and Facebook developers turned out to be a very healthy thing, because it motivated many people to work on making PHP run faster. And other than that, I just finished the article talking about the synchronous programming thing, which is still what I think it is missing in PHP. And I think there are implementations for asynchronous programming, but they all look very much like what we currently have in JavaScript world, which is all is dealt with callbacks. And we know there is this callback hell expression that we don't enjoy much, and probably that one was the things that turned down many people that considered to switch to Node.js instead of PHP, because it's not really nice. But one new thing to consider is that ECMAScript 6, which is the next generation of JavaScript, already implements something that will make a synchronous programmer more pleasant, which is the await keyword, which, by coincidence or not, we also have in the Facebook hack language. Mm-hmm. Basically, it lets you, when you have an asynchronous operation, for instance, connecting to a server, you can just use the await keyword, and in your code, you write whatever happens after the task is completed without using callbacks. So, and since this is available on ECMAScript 6 and the next version of Node.js or IO.js, which is a fork of Node.js, when it will be available, that will be one less thing for developers to complain against Node.js. So I think it's possible that many PHP developers will start to move to Node.js by then. But okay, this is futurology. This is just my opinion. I don't know, Arthur, what do you think? Is it something reasonable or reasonable that you can expect?
Why not then hack languages instead of Node.js if they both have similar functionality with a weight keyword?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Hack languages has other issues, like, for instance, being controlled by Facebook. Some people are against Facebook.
Yeah, sure, sure. It will be an issue for many people. I agree.
Yeah. Well, there are. They don't know about the future. For instance, Facebook stops supporting the hack language. What happens then? Well, I don't know. Some people are afraid to go there. Other than that, for the JavaScript world, there is this supposedly advantage is that people, when if they do the server side in JavaScript and the client side in JavaScript, it's just one language they need to learn, and that's the temptation that some want to follow, or not. We don't know. Well, one thing that JavaScript doesn't have, definitely, at least for now, it's WordPress. Well, there are content management systems, blog systems based on Node.js or whatever, but it's not WordPress. They do not have millions of plugins. It's there will be no path for migrating from WordPress to something else.
On the system that I've been working, I also need to implement plugin system, and it's really hard to implement such systems in Node.js because of how it is structured, that you need to restart the whole process to reload the packages. And, well, it's much easier to do something like that in PHP than in Node.js.
Yeah, well, that's good to know, at least for those that are looking for arguments in favor of PHP. Well, we don't know. We know progress happens, and if in the future we don't, we have switched from JavaScript to something else, well, that's because it was a good thing. I don't know. Well, anyway, there will be a lot more to say, but we need to move on. Just to finish here, I have also mentioned a bit about the things that happened in the PHP classes world. Last year, we implemented the package recommendation system, which is meant to help users looking for packages for specific purposes instead of searching the site, which often does not give very good recommendations because they are general, not specific. They do not take in consideration the specific needs of a project. This package recommendation system is meant to have some users advise others about packages that are interesting. Lately, there was an improvement on the package recommendation system, which is, I think I mentioned here below, which is the fact that if you... No, I didn't mention here, I mentioned above. For instance, if you have a package, if you have somebody ask for a recommendation, there is no package, but one author develops a package right away for that purpose, he could recommend that package, but since it was not approved, he just can't. So from now on, if you have a package that was not approved, you can recommend it. And then the package is approved, it will appear as a recommendation in that page. And that also works as a flag. So I, as moderator, will also approve that package faster. So Because there is this huge queue, and that is something that I'm very ashamed of, because I've been so busy that I left the queue piling up like 20 or 30 packages in the queue. I need to work faster to release that queue, but I've been struggling with time because I have parallel projects. Actually, one parallel project unrelated with the PHP classes, but I'll try, hopefully, starting next week, start to approve more packages a day to make things go faster. Anyway, another thing that I mentioned was the Innovation World Championship of the Nations that went very well. We got many, many more authors contributing with innovative packages. And this year we have even more as we're going to start looking ahead when we just mentioned about the Innovation Award nominees of the month. Other than that, there was also another thing that is taking me some time more than it used that I had in before, which is the site is publishing quality tutorial articles as well, book reviews, and at least authors of good book good tutorial articles are getting paid a fee, which is nice because it rewards them for the time that they take to write quality articles. And we are also going to review the articles of the month very quickly because there are so many, as well as the book reviews that have been published. As for future plans, there are things that that are more concerning. For instance, the search system is not very good. Lately, I made some fixes that address one thing, Arthur, you mentioned about if you search for something with words with less than three characters, yeah, you would not get any results. So I had some workarounds, and sometimes it worked well. It is working better. For instance, if you search for QR code, I act the search system to, I mean, QR code in separate words. Since QR only had two words, two letters, sorry. What was happening is that it didn't return any results. I don't know why. It's a limitation of the system. So in some cases, I omit the words with less than two characters. In other cases, I just join them to the next word. For instance, QR code would become just one word. So there are many more search useful search results. But the idea is to replace this with a decent system, probably based on Sphinx or Solr or Elasticsearch. I'm still evaluating, but also to make time to implement this. Other than that, the one thing that I want to do is the package recommendations that already exist, they also appear in the search results. So if you ask for search for QR code, and there are recommendations for QR code in the recommendation system, they also appear in the search results page. So you get recommendations faster. Not only get the results of the package that exists, you also get people recommending certain specific packages, which hopefully will provide a better user experience. And finally, I mentioned about book reviews and good articles. I plan to also allow authors, I mean developers, individual developers or user groups to promote conferences and training events on the PHP Classes blog for free. If you are a company, you can advertise on PHP Classes blog, posting a sponsored article, paying a fee. But if you are an individual or a user group, you probably don't have a great budget, but you are going to give a nice training event, you be allowed to promote your event for free, and hopefully get more people to attend, and your event will be more successful. Well, this is just the plans for the future, apart from the things that I also mentioned that happened in the last year. So now we're going to move on finally to the articles that were published in the site in the last month. We had many articles, many good articles. I'm going to just mention them here very briefly because we are already taking a lot of time, so we need to run. One article here is a follow-up from the previous one about implementing a mapping system based on Leaflet, so you can implement your own mapping system without relying on Google Maps. So this article is a follow-up by Ashraf Gaith, and is built upon what he wrote in the previous article to implement a way to search for whatever is in the map. And the search as a client side and a server side, which in the case is implementing PHP and MySQL. Another article, this is probably interesting for you, Arthur, which talks about how you can use PHP to communicate with sensors in embedded hardware devices, like, for instance, those based on Raspberry Pi. And since they are based on Linux, they can run Apache and have PHP installed. So Tom Friend, I'm not sure what is the right way to pronounce his name, wrote this article. It tells about that you have to have some adapter programs, commands to actually talk with the sensors, but you can call those programs with the popen function. Arthur, I don't know if you look at this article, if you felt it was useful, because from what I remember, you are working on some hardware projects.
Yeah, also. Well, for now, at least, we are not interested in using PHP in that. But this article was interesting in the sense that it showed how you could use PHP if you wanted to. Of course, on specific system, executing specific system commands, but still, it's possible.
Yeah, we always have to have some adapter program, but you can at least have a common base, a common solution that would work with the different types of sensors, the types of device. So this is a sort of an abstraction. Well, the next article, this one by Dave Smith, he has been sending lots of very interesting articles. This one is about Hulu, which is a platform to serve movies, videos, and they don't have an API, but he found a workaround it to call that to, for instance, get information about the movies using the support for embedding videos that they provide using HoEmbed, and also using the sitemaps that they provide to find what content they have there, so you could use that to search, index and search their content, and implement your own Hulu API using that. And for that, he provided a class that he developed, and it is very interesting. The next article, this one is more to Linux users, which basically simplifying your PHP applications testing using LXC. Actually, I didn't know about LXC, but it's a sort of a lightweight virtualization technology that you can use. But I think you can only use it if you are already only on Linux systems. This article from Alex Luxpy is very interesting, and he explains how it works. So if you are interested in virtualizing, like implementing different environments in your developed machine,
testing
if you are using
PHP 7 beta?
Yeah, it could be. Well, why not? Yeah, there is this LXC solution. Personally, I didn't know about it, but if I have the need to implement some virtualized solution, I'll take a look. And the next article, it's another by Ashraf Gaith. This one is about creating an Ajax-based chat system. Well, Ajax is not new, chat systems are not new, but it gives a simple step-by-step tutorial that for those that would like a quick and easy solution for this.
Or to learn the basics.
Yeah, actually, in reality, this is to explain about a class that is developed to implement this. He developed that class many years ago, but he has been updating the class to use more modern features of the Ajax implementations. And okay, the next article is interesting precisely because the MySQL extension is going away. And as we mentioned before, what will happen when that extension goes away, it will break lots of PHP code. And Dave Smith wrote a class that implements the MySQL extension functions wrapped around the MySQLi extension. So with this class, you can have a quick and easy solution that you just, with a few lines, you can make your application work well again in PHP 7 or even some earlier version on that your hosting company already provided but has disabled the MySQL extension. So this article talks about this class that you can use very to very quickly solve your problem.
Yeah, so he also provides the class, right? Read the class.
Yes, this article is featured article, which means it's an article that was posted on a blog about the class, but since it was of the general interest of the PHP classes community, it was promoted to the main blog. And now I just noticed that I've been talking a lot without sharing my screen. And you did not warn me.
Yeah, I was looking at my screen. So I saw
it. That's easy. Well, anyway, moving on to the next topic. There is this article about Vagrant. Again, another solution to implement virtualized development environments. This one was written by Dmitry Mamontov. And this one is more towards those that do not use Linux systems and could not use, for instance, LXC. They would need to use some other solution. And in this case, it tells what is Vagrant and how you can implement the virtual servers on your machine for local development. Because there is this interesting situation that the vast majority of PHP developers use Windows, and then there are also the Mac OS X users, but in production, practically all or a great part use Linux. So how do they have a development environment that is as close as possible to the Linux-based environment that they have on production server? That's using Vagrant. Dmitry explained how you can solve your problem, and he also explains how to deal with some issues like generating keys and other problems that you may find when you are running on your running your virtual environments with Vagrant. So this is a useful article. And now that we talked about the articles, there are many more articles in the queue. Many of them are very interesting, but we, like approving a couple of weeks. There is also a queue for that. Unfortunately, there are queues for everything because as a moderator, I'm not elastic, so I have to do it one at a time. But other than the articles, there are also been good book reviews that have been published. So let's cover them very quickly again. Again, actually, no, we didn't cover these ones. Well, the first book that we mentioned here is A Year with Symphony. This is an article about a book written by Matthias Nobeck. He has been a great symphony enthusiast. And José Luis Lasso wrote a review about this book because he is also a fan of the symphony framework. And it tells about everything that this book is about. The next book, also by Matthias Nobeck, this one was reviewed by Dave Smith, is about how you can create packages with a good design. This is probably very interesting for many authors that submit packages to the PHP class site, how they can provide packages that work well, follow good principles. He talks here about the solid principles and explains what they are. So I think you should read the review to understand what the book is about, and also buy the book because it will be useful to help you to create packages that are well structured and don't have some problems that others have. The next article is about, the next review is about a book called Securing PHP Core Concepts, written by Chris Cornett. Again, this was reviewed by Dave Smith, and it talks about everything that you should know about security at the minimum. If you don't know about these principles, you should, because being a developer is not just writing code. It's also to write code that works in a secure manner. And this book was very well recommended by Dave Smith because he really liked the way it was structured. And there is another book from Chris Cornett about security, but it is not yet fully done. Let's hope that he finishes the book soon so we can also have a good review about it here. The next article is also about security. In this case, it was written by Ben Edmonds. And the review is written by Samuel Adesina. And he also recommends this book very well. It's not exactly about the same things of the previous book, but certainly there is an overlap. And it is also very well recommended. The next article is about a topic that I think most developers didn't know they had. This book is...
Problem you did not know you have, yeah.
Well, actually, this is more about certain problems certain situations that may cause you performance problems. This book was written by Paul M. Jones, and the title is Solving the N plus One Problem. And if I understood this right, it is related with the fact, for instance, if you are implementing a CRUD system that you need to list entries of objects that you have in a database, and those entries have related objects that you also need to query to extract the information. For each entry that you list, you will have to perform and other queries to obtain the related information. When you have, for instance, one-to-many relationship, And because of that, you can, you may end up executing too many queries.
Yeah.
And this book is about that. I'm sure that my explanation is probably not very clear and it's still a bit abstract. But
I can give a simple example. Like you select all PHP classes authors, and then you cycle loop through them and select each author's classes. So you execute n plus one queries for all n classes.
Yes, and you could probably do it with just one query and obtain everything, and this causes problems.
Question, because there are many possible solutions that have pros in one situation, cons in other. So,
and I think this comes. This problem is often caused when you implement an object relational mapping solution that practically makes you query one object at a time, and if you want to obtain many objects, this problem may arise. You end up executing too many queries. You may end up, for instance, if you need to encapsulate all in the transaction, you may end up locking your database for a long time and cause scalability problems. Anyway, it's better than me explaining here. It's better to read this review of Samuel Edishinen and then buy the book, because it is also well recommended. And another book also by Paul Jones is Modernizing Legacy Applications. And this, I think it's very interesting, because many developers learn how to program in PHP many years ago. But the way things are done in PHP nowadays have evolved. People have different approaches that are more convenient, and so, and that's why Paul written this book, Modernizing Legacy Applications in PHP, and to tell you about there are more modern ways to write applications. But what do you do with your legacy applications? And this book, also reviewed by Samuel Adeshina, is basically about it. What can you do to modernize your legacy applications with the minimal impact? Because some people think modernizing is rewriting the whole code, and it's totally inviable to do that. And also talking about this topic, Paul is giving an online workshop. I'm afraid by the time people will see this hangout, that workshop will already passed. But he posted an article in the PHP Classes blog telling about that workshop. And that was one of the examples. Since this workshop was organized by an individual, posting an announcement about that workshop is totally free. And because basically it's the PHP class site helping good developers to promote good work. And well, maybe by the time when you watch this, that workshop has already passed, but at least you know it happened. Let's see if Paul organizes another edition of it, so you can attend next time. And finally, there is one another book about modernization. Mm-hmm. It's called Modern PHP. It was written by Josh Lockhart, and it was reviewed by Dave Smith again. And this is not about modernizing legacy applications. It's about more about telling what are the current good practices of that many developers follow in the PHP world these days. And for that, the book is also very well recommended to everybody. Maybe you are stuck in old practices, and you now, with this book, you can learn what are the good practices of that are considered modern. Well, that was, that those were lots of books and lots of articles, but we finally reaching one of the last sections on which we comment about the Innovation Award. Let's start with the Innovation Award of JS classes, like we start with the nominees of April. They were voted in May and June. The results come out. We have in April like 7 nominees, many packages, at least for the average of the JS classes site, which is great, but will give us a lot more work to comment about them. Let me share here just to give you an idea. Okay, here they are. Okay, so of these 7, which ones would you like to comment, Arthur?
Yeah, share the screen and probably need to zoom in also, right? So first one I wanted to comment is an interesting package by Andras Stoth, which is called WDE, web-based editor for several programming languages. I was actually looking for something that I could write code online in, and it seems to be using some existing tool and extending it and implementing different features and even some testing using PHP integrations. I wanted to try to see a demo, but it seems their demo account was changed and I can't log in. It also says wrong name or password, but still wanted to mention it. And Andras got 1 year server license IP for his package. The second one I wanted to mention is Gianluca Zanferrari with package JavaScript HTML table Excel export. So it does an interesting thing that it takes a current HTML table in the HTML code and formats it in a way that it could be exported and used in Excel. And in case of Internet Explorer, it also uses ActiveX control to even launch the Excel program. So if you want to allow users to edit HTML tables in Excel, that's the way to go.
Yeah, that's actually, if you are not in Internet Explorer, it still will open a file and make it open Excel if you are on Windows or whatever is compliant in your platform. Okay, on my behalf, I also like to talk about a few packages. Let me share the screen here. Okay. Well, the first package I wanted to comment is one that is interesting. And fortunately, I also have a demo, which basically is an analog clock. Well, the demo was supposed to appear here, but it doesn't. Maybe the author removed it. But well, anyway, the let's see if I can open the screen. Oh, it opens, but not when.
Not in iframe.
In iframe. Well, anyway, as you may be able to see here, it's an analog clock. It just uses some CSS tricks to rotate the pointers, and it gives a nice effect. Okay, the next package that I want to comment, it's GPS to country. And this is very interesting because usually, I forgot to mention that the previous package was published by Suresh Kumar from India. And the next package that I want to mention, as I mentioned, is GPS to country. It allows to determine the country at a given longitude and latitude. So take the latitude and longitude, and this package by Dusan Boskic is able to determine if that coordinate is inside a given country. And this all is done without querying remote web services. So it contains information about the boundaries of each country, and then it tells if a given coordinate is inside that country or not. So it is a great package. Now let's take a look at the Innovation Award rankings so far for 2015. So far, Anders.Toth is leading individually with 4 packages and 15 points, followed by Suresh Kumar with 3 packages and 10 points. Then Gianluca Zanferai with 1 packet and 7 points. Then also with 7 points, Dusan Boskic with. And then there are several other authors with just 1 package and but less points. Jackson Alton, Danish Sati, and Mustafa Abdel Hamid, Negron LaMonica, Stephen Chapman, and Arthur Sossins. Well, by country, these things are still more or less tied to who is leading, because unfortunately, JS Classics does not have many, many authors submitting packages, so many of them are just represent their country all by themselves. So in first place, there is Hungary with 4 packages and 15 points. Then India with 3 packages and 10 points. Serbia with 2 packages and 7 points. Netherlands with 1 package and 7 points. And then United States with 2 packages and 7. I think United States is probably the only country that has more than one participant in this ranking. Then there is Italy, 1 package and 4 points. Australia, 1 package and 4 points. Egypt, also 1 package and 4 points. Pakistan, also 1 package and 4 points. And Indonesia, 1 package and 3 points. We have had lots of contributions of JS classes that have been raising a lot this year. So we hope this competition becomes interesting. Now let's move on to the Innovation Award of PHP. And for the month of April, we had lots of nominees. So we have to run to talk about these nominees. And they were voted in May. In June, the results come out. We are not complaining. It's a lot more to talk about than these nominees, but it is good. It is still a lot of packages to comment, so let's try to do this very quickly. Artis, which ones would you like to comment?
Sure, let me again share the screen. And here it is. The first one I wanted to mention is Dave Smith. We talk about him a lot today, from United States. And he developed the package PHP deprecated function checker. So as we discussed, there are lots of things getting deprecated in PHP, so it would be great to have your source analyzed, and this package does exactly that. It takes your source code and parses it and determines if you're using any functions that are deprecated. And it even uses the list of deprecated functions from external formats, so you can update it to the different PHP versions and test your code against it. Let's see if there is anything that might break. And that's why basically I like the package. And they've got one downloadable copy of PHP ED Professional for this submission. The next one, also like kind of really, it's packaged by Samuel Adeshina from Nigeria. And it's a PHP sentence parser. What it does, it parses these simple sentences in PHP, tries to interpret them, breaks them in the words and stuff like that. But most interesting part is that it tries to generate similar new sentence using different synonyms and other grammar-specific rules. And so you could use it in your website when you're reblogging to try to like re-sentence. Put the same title in other words so Google won't penalize you, and that would be the great usage for this package, and that's why I like it. And Samuel got one copy of the Zen Studio for this package.
Okay, on my behalf, I also would like to comment a bunch of packages. Okay. I would start by this package by Abius X from EDN. He developed a parser for SQL queries, and it is interesting because it can divide the queries into tokens that can be identified, and with that it can analyze, for instance, if two queries are similar, and probably group them in a useful way. For instance, I would see this package useful, for instance, if you go through the MySQL slow query, you could, for instance, identify if certain queries that are being detected as slow are actually the same query with different values. And using this package, you could actually implement that solution. And for this, Abuse X, I'm sure is not his real name, it's probably an alias, got a prize, which is a Source Guardian PHP Encoder tool, which is a new prize, and is already popular because many people want PHP encoders. And the next package that I want to comment is a package to manage users and groups of users for Windows Azure. Windows Azure is that cloud hosting platform by Microsoft. And this package was developed by Mustafa Abdel Amid from Egypt, and it is useful if you want to if you are using Windows Azure, and for this this package, Mustafa got one subscription to the PDF edition of PHP Architect magazine. So with this, it's time to take a look at the Innovation Award ranking of 2015. And as we mentioned, this is becoming very, very competitive. By author, Dave Smith is leading with three packages and 30 points. Dave is from the United States, and then also from the United States is Matthew Knowlton with two packages and 27 points. Then Gali Ahmed with three packages and 26 points. Gali is from Tunisia. Dmitry Mamontov is from Russian, and he has two packages and 23 points. Till Wioski with three packages and 22 points. Dan Ken from France with two packages and 22 points. Alicia Felicione is tied with also two packages and 22 points. He's from Italy. Andrea Liechti from Switzerland is with two packages and 16 points. Then Mohamed Al-Ashal, I think, yeah, from Egypt with one package and 16 points. And then Wap Marvin follows with two packages and 15 points. So this ranking is very, very tight because many people have been participating, which in turn is also making the ranking by country also very interesting. So far, Russia is leading with eight packages and 70 points, followed by United States with six packages and 62 points. Then Germany also with six packages and 34 points. Then Egypt, three packages with 28 points. France, three packages and 26 points. Then Tunisia also with three packages and 26 points. And then Italy, two packages and 22 points. Nigeria, two packages and 20 points. Pakistan, two packages and 19 points. And then Switzerland, two packages and 16 points. So this is getting very, very competitive because the ranking by author is led by two Americans, but that was not enough to pass the
first place, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we'll see very interesting developments in this ranking around this year. So this already takes in account the rankings of of May in June, you also add lots of packages that were not yet are still being voted. So let's see how this rankings will evolve. So with this, we practically ended, reached this long podcast, and we'll continue to talk more about these interesting developments of PHP as well, our interesting articles, book reviews, and all these interesting packages next month. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.